Washington, Friday, January 2nd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the war in the Middle East. We'll talk with David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, about just how far Israel's willing to go to try and take out the military wing of Hamas in Gaza in response to months upon months of deadly rocket attacks from Gaza into southern Israel. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, one final look back at 2008. It wouldn't be complete without hearing from John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. Plus, making sure you have an asthma and allergy-free home. We'll talk with Mike Tringale of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America about how to make sure these next few months when you're mostly indoors aren't miserable for you, and how you take care of those triggers that set off your allergies and asthma condition. And the chap who threw the two shoes. The Capitol steps kick off 2009 with a humorous look back at President Bush's ability to dodge the two shoes thrown by that Iraqi reporter a number of weeks ago. All that plus our top news follows our look at the latest in the Middle East conflict, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is David Gardenstein-Ross, a vice president for research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts as the violence continues between Israel and the militant Islamic group Hamas, which is now stretching into about a week-long confrontation with no indication that it's about to subside anytime soon. David, it's always great to have you with us. Happy New Year to you.
It's good to join you. Happy New Year to you as well.
Right now, we're hearing reports that Israel is poised for a ground invasion into Gaza, not to reclaim the territory that it ceded a couple of years ago, but to make sure that it can do as much damage as possible against the militant wing of Hamas. What do you suspect that might consist of?
Well, it's not clear at this point if there is actually going to be a ground invasion. There's been talk about this. There's been talk of it for days. And there's a real split within Israeli leadership. Some of them believe that their failure in the 2006 war against Hezbollah in Lebanon was not applying enough force, not using massive force early enough. In other sectors of Israeli leadership, there's the view that going in with ground forces at all into Lebanon was a mistake, that having much more of a minimalist military approach would have been preferential. And there are quite a bit of risks entailed in any sort of ground incursion into Gaza. The predominant risk is that if they bring in ground troops, they could get tied up in the streets. There could be firefights that bog them down a bit, thus allowing Hamas to claim that they fought Israel to a standstill. One of the key lessons of the 2006 war is that it's not just about how the tactics and how the strategy of the fighting goes. Rather, it's also about how the fighting ends. And the fact that the 2006 war ended on such a low note for Israel is precisely what makes it perceived as a victory for Hezbollah throughout the Muslim world. They don't want the same thing to happen to them in the Gaza. If they do go in, though, I do expect it to be much more of a limited incursion, which is aimed at taking out weapons laboratories, taking out the tunnels that extend from the Gaza Strip into Egypt that have been used as a transport route for rockets and for other weaponry that's been used against Israel, and perhaps to take out some of Hamas's leadership as well.
David, it's been said by several different leaders inside the Israeli government that the goal here is to basically eliminate the militant wing of Hamas. Number one, is that really possible? And number two, how much of that can really be accomplished without sending in ground troops?
Well, if you look at the top leadership who's been speaking on this issue, they actually haven't been as bold in talking about what their goals are. One of the big mistakes that was made back in 2006 before the war with Hezbollah was really trumpeting what they were going to do to Hezbollah. Israel's stated goal was to take Hezbollah out, to destroy Hezbollah. And so merely surviving the Israeli attack was regarded as a victory for Hezbollah. If you look at, for example, Defense Minister Ehud Barak, he said that they wanted to change the game, but he didn't talk about the elimination of Hamas. So I think that at top levels of leadership, they actually haven't set the goal quite that high. Instead, what they've talked about is an end to violence, not a permanent end, but a cessation of the rocket attacks. And we can see, as this conflict has continued, that the rocket attacks have significantly tapered down over time, as opposed to the war against Hezbollah, where so many rockets were being fired into Israel on a day-to-day basis with no let-up as the war continued. So it does seem that in this case, Israel has already begun to degrade Hamas's capabilities, and probably with a ground incursion, if they choose to go that route, they'll do so much more.
Just to backtrack a bit, David, as you mentioned, rockets were being lobbed on a regular basis day after day from Gaza into southern Israel. What was it, just to bring everyone up to date, that triggered the Israeli response that we saw last Saturday?
The primary thing was the expiration of a ceasefire agreement between Hamas and Israel. They had a ceasefire agreement that lasted for 6 months. Hamas allowed it to lapse. Israel had said that if the ceasefire agreement did lapse, that they would launch an incursion into Gaza in order to try to prevent these rocket attacks from continuing. If you look at the reaction from different leaders in the Arab world, there was initially a lot of blame placed on Hamas itself for allowing this ceasefire to lapse. Mubarak, the president of Egypt, as well as the Egyptian foreign minister, both blamed this on Hamas, as did Mahmoud Abbas, who's the leader of the Palestinian Authority. Beyond that, the concern on the Israeli part is not just the lapse of the ceasefire, but also that over time, Hamas's rocket capabilities have increased in sophistication and range. We're talking about, you know, Hamas firing rockets into southern Israel, but at Israel is a very small state, and at this point, Hamas's rockets can reach one out of every eight Israelis. They can reach over 10% of the Israeli population. So Israel regards this as a very serious issue. There was a report today on FoxNews.com talking about how Israel believes that it's only a matter of time before the nuclear facilities they have at Dimona are within range of Hamas's rockets as well. The increase in range, the increase in capabilities, made Israel believe that they needed to have a response in order to protect their citizens.
Obviously, there's a political element here, too, although a lot of folks don't like to bring it up when it comes to possibly urging military activity based on politics. But we know that there's a very volatile situation inside the Israeli government right now. We know that Ehud Olmert stepped down right now. Zippy Livni is the prime minister. The Kadima Party trying to rally support, and they're getting it right now. 85% backed this military operation, although the population seems split on whether ground troops should go in. We know that Ehud Barak is the leader of the Labor Party. Benjamin Netanyahu would like to be the next Likud prime minister. So how do you expect this to impact the politics in Israel?
Politically, I think this is a test for Livni. The test is whether she'll be able to handle this in a way that is satisfactory, or whether she gives an opening for hawks to say that she's going to do an insufficient job in protecting the Israeli population. There's another issue as well, though, beyond the issue of whether whether a party is hawkish enough. And that second issue that's worth mentioning is there's also the issue of competence. And that was something that was very much lacking in 2006. I was in Israel early last year, just as the Winograd Commission report was being released. And there was so much discussion of this on the streets of Israel. Everybody was paying attention. Everybody had strong opinions about what had gone wrong in the war. So another thing that's going to be watched is not just politicians posturing, but are they competent? Do they represent Israel well on the international stage? And moreover, when commanding Israeli forces, do they have good, sound strategic plans that do justice to the deterrent power of Israel, or are they going to erode Israel's deterrent capacity? One of the things that Israel thinks it lost most in the 2006 war was its deterrent. If Hamas were deterred by Israel, if Hamas feared Israel, the view among the Israeli public is that Hamas would not be firing rockets at them right now. So part of the reason that they're undertaking this incursion is to try to reestablish that deterrent. And ending it in a poor way, or not having the correct strategic outlook, could further erode, as opposed to enhance, Israel's deterrent capability. The Israeli public is going to be watching that very closely.
We're talking with David Gardenstein-Ross of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And David, you referred to it repeatedly now, of course, and that's the 2006 war between Israel and Hezbollah and the lessons that the government is trying to learn and try to apply in this particular conflict with Hamas now in Gaza. One of the things that Israel seemed particularly sensitive to during that conflict with Hezbollah 3 years ago was that it was using a disproportionate response. That seems to be the buzzword from the international community when it doesn't like what Israel's doing to those terrorist organizations that are trying to create trouble. How sensitive is Israel this time, or are they more just focused on accomplishing what they need to accomplish?
They're certainly sensitive to civilian casualties. I think most people, when talking about proportionality, don't get the idea of proportionality right. Among a lot of commentators and others, there's a notion almost that proportionality means that they only kill as many Hamas members as Hamas kills Israelis. And that isn't really an idea of proportionality that has ever been held by any state in its own military affairs. Indeed, it would be a foolish idea of proportionality. I'm not saying proportionality is an irrelevant concept, just that most people misuse it. Israel is very concerned, though, about civilian casualties. Ultimately, the international perception of Israel's incursion will influence when it ends. One of the reasons Israel ended the 2006 war when they did was because of the massive international outcry that had come with the Israeli incursion. They understand that a lot of this war is going to indeed be fought in the media. So there are reports now of Israel, and these are reports coming from both the Israelis and the Palestinians, of Israel phoning ahead before bombing certain homes in order to let the civilians get out of the way. Second, Israel has been using sound bombs at times, bombs that make very loud noises but don't do much damage, kind of as a warning to the civilian population that a certain area is going to be bombed to try to get people out of there. Ultimately, there are going to be civilian casualties, and part of the reason is Hamas's design. Hamas has embedded itself to a maximum degree possible within the civilian population in order to ensure that any Israeli attacks on Hamas would also kill innocent Palestinians. That's highly problematic. Israel is certainly trying to minimize civilian casualties, as they should, but the UN puts the number at over 60 now. Nobody should expect that the number of civilians killed in these attacks is going to be zero.
David, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, great to have you with us, and again, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Greg.
David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is Dateline Washington.